are living with you. Sanctuary. Oh, sing it unto him now and just think about him. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Is that your desire, to be a sanctuary, a dwelling place for God to come and dwell in? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelation 3, where we've been reading for a while, Revelation 3:12. Glad to have our visitors back there with us. So we have them from Florida to Virginia's, back in Georgia. So we were glad to have you with us, and we always say to the visitors when they come, because we don't have anything to join up with, we're born into the family of God by the new birth. And we always say to you, when you come one time, you're a visitor. You come back two times, you're just part of us.
Amen.
Because that's the way we always count you. We don't have anything to join up with. We just have a part of the fellowship of the body of Jesus Christ. Good to have all these brothers with us. I know one of them's in Florida, Brother Danny Stevens, and the one's in the Virginias is Brother Walls. So we're glad to have those with us. And just, you know, tell them there that, that we say hi to them. Amen. Give them our love and respect. Glad to have you. And just sit back and enjoy yourself. And you know, we're kind of southern. And maybe somewhere between Florida and Virginia you can find us. Another brother that's moved down to Georgia there, maybe he'll learn from, if he's come from up north, he'll learn our language before long anyway. So, you know, it'll be all right. Amen. Lord bless you. But Revelation 3, let's just pray before we read our scripture. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we cherish your presence with us, and we pray that you would just be with us today, Lord, and guide us in what to say to your people, the purchase of your blood. Have your way with us, Lord. Bless the visitors as they're visiting with us today, and you just come on the scene and feed the hearts, Lord, and let your love be made manifest in each one of us. Guide us now and keep us, Lord. Forgive us when we fail you, because we know we do, and we ask you to just bless and be with the sick ones. There's many among us that sicknesses and things, and you said in your words, you promised it, you said, I sent my word and healed them and delivered from destruction. So we believe you, and we commit it all to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Revelation 3, we've been reading this for quite a while. We'll get off of this verse eventually, but I found out a long time ago you can never wire out the word of God. It just keeps unfolding the more you read it. Revelation 3 and verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Also remember a prayer request. Brother Richard gave it to us there a while ago for a Savannah Sanders. She has a staph infection. So just remember that. A lot of that going around. Now the safest place to be, I guess, is in the city dump, because they're not getting staph infection down in the city dump. The worst place to go to get staph infection now is the hospital. That's the place you're supposed to be going to try to get away from diseases, and you go there. Still, we thank God for hospitals and things that you can go to. Now, we have been studying in the book of Revelation now for quite a while, and we're just kind of taking verse by verse and kind of come over into the church ages, as we call it. And I know they're very familiar with our visitors, as we believe that there were seven church ages, you know, back there, that it was seven message is sent, or Jesus wrote a message to each age. And if you're familiar with what we call the red letter edition of the Bible, then that means that that was the hand of the Lord, the Lord Jesus, that wrote it. And all of the church ages between Revelations 2 and chapter 3 are written in red letter, if your Bible shows that. If it doesn't, I'll be glad to let you look at mine. Because this was the message given to John to give to the church. All right. Now, as we studied in chapter 1 of Revelations, that it's talking about the church. That's who it's talking about. One standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. Didn't say it was the Son of Man. Said, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Well, that's feminish, see, because of where the girdle was placed at, and showing that that's the body of Jesus Christ. So why should we worry about the book of Revelations? We were taught, you know, stay out of the book of Revelations, stay out of the book of Genesis. But that was a scarecrow. We old farmers know what you do, you know, you put your corn in the ground and you put you up a scarecrow. And you try to keep the crows off with that scarecrow. Well, that's what they've done by trying to keep us from reading the book of Revelations to see who we are. Because to me, that's what it does. The book of Revelation starts off automatically showing you who you are. You are the body of Jesus Christ. You are God made manifest upon the earth in a form called the bride. He's not here in a corporal body now because he has a body. You are his body. We are the body of Christ by the new birth. All right? See, then in doing that, then he shows, you know, who this is. It is written to the church, about the church, or the bride, see? All right? See, then we got over into and started into the church ages, chapter 2 and chapter 3, and we found that each church age had what was called a salutation or a greeting. And it would say, to the church at Ephesus. You know, to the church at Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and all like that. A greeting, a salutation, a hello, you know, an introduction, or a point of listening to who's doing the talking. All right? And each age then had a revelation of the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what we believe in. We believe in one true and living God. And that Jesus is his name. Now, that should be simple, as we'll try to get to in a minute on a point or two. But, see, believing in one God, we say, well, we believe in one God. Now, I don't throw no stones, I just make statements, all right? Because he who lives in a glass house don't throw stones. All right? You know, don't kick around too much if you live in a glass house. You might break. I broke the coffee pot this morning, just tapped them together, and it broke it. So be careful. So that's what we do. But just to make a statement. The Baptist doctrine is, they'll say, we believe in one God. All right? And, you know, that's good. Because the Bible teaches one God. The Bible says you say you believe in one God, you do well, for the devil believes and trembles. See, he's scared of the point of you realizing that there is just one true and living God. And see, then, that's what the book of Revelations is revealing, that same Lord Jesus Christ speaking to John to bring the message to us, to talk about us, and to show exactly the ages we're living in, see? And that one true and living God. But now where our fallacy is, we say we believe in one true and living God, which is God in three persons, blessed Trinity, co-equal and co-eternal. Now that's a statement made by most of your churches, and I'm not, as I said, I'm not throwing stones, I'm preaching to you. Alright? See, not to anybody else. If I was over there, I'd be preaching to them from somewhere else. No, I'm here today, so I'm talking to you. About you, to get you to see who you are and what you see. Alright? Alright? See, then we believe in one true and living God, but not the God in three persons, because a person is a personality. A personality is an individual is a person. Alright? So then if you say you believe in God in three persons, you're brought back to the old Trinitarian concept that was developed at Nicaea, Rome, beginning at 325 A.D. You can check that out. And then you can go on to 606, and by then it was developed into what they call the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Blessed Trinity. But it was not the truth, see? Because it will not bear out in the Bible, as we'll see in a minute when we get into the name. It won't bear out in the Bible. It won't hold up. And anything that won't hold up, we need to get rid of. See? And to walk on with what God reveals and see the truth of it. But see, each age now, as I said, gets a greeting, a salutation, a revelation. See? It would say, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. See? He's showing who he is. But he's showing who he is in relation to the people of that time. Because there would be no need of trying to tell the church at Ephesus about what's going on in Laodicea. Even though we all get the revelation, we all get the one true revelation of God. But yet it was for their time. See? And during the time that it started out in the writing to the church at Ephesus, and no one would have an argument about Paul being the messenger to Ephesus, because he wrote the book of Ephesians, and that is to that church and those times. But see, he taught the truth of one true and living God. He taught it the way it was. He brought him down as the King, immortal, eternal, all-wise God. Right? See, that's right out of the Scripture. But see, as time went on and they began to develop the things, they began to lose the understanding of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that they lost the way to pronounce it. I've tried to emphasize that over and over to you. When the prophet of God that we claim to believe in the end time, that he said the name of Jesus was lost during the Dark Ages. Well, that's true. But it was not the name lost in the basis of pronouncing J-E-S-U-S. They were still doing that in the Dark Ages. The Catholic Church would hold a cross to your face and say, deny the Lord that you believe. See? If you don't, we'll kill you. Get your Fox's Book of Martyr, where 68 million Protestants got killed through what is called the Dark Ages of time by the Catholic Church. But they would hold that up and they'd say, deny your God. And you could say back to them, said, well, who is your God? And they'd say, well, our God is Jesus. Who is your God? Well, our God is Jesus. Said, wait just a minute, something's wrong. Said, what do you mean? And I, you know, the true Christian would say, my God is Jesus, because the only name that God ever had is Jesus. Jehovah's not a name. Yahweh's not a name. All of these that are coming out today, they're trying to make new things out of it, but it's not a name. Jehovah's not a name. Yahweh, Elohim, all of those are not a name. They're only titles to a name. Just like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not a name. It is only the title to a name. How would you like to get your paycheck written Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? It wouldn't do too good at the bank, would it? And that's why Jesus said, in my name, you shall cast out devils. He didn't say in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said, in my name, you shall cast out devils. Well, see, then we need to find out what went wrong back there. What they done was they lost the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, the man would be at the stakes fixing to be burned, and he'd say, well, what do you believe? I believe in one true and living God, and Jesus is his name. The man on the other side will say, I believe in one true and living God, and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is his name. And Mary told us that. Yeah. Come on. Because that was what they were doing, right? I'm not against the Catholic, because we all come from somewhere. I mean, every one of us come from some doctrinal issue, so nobody's throwing off on the other one. We're just talking in plain language to where that we can understand and get to a point. See? But see, they would kill you because you believe that Jesus was Almighty God. They believe he was the second person of the Trinity, because they had developed that doctrine. But there is no such thing. The word Trinity is not even in the Bible. Sure, we believe in a triune God, but not a trinity of gods. They say God the Father, God the Son. Show me that in the Scripture. Show me where it says God the Son in the Scripture. It says Son of God. It doesn't say God the Son. All right. See, and they lost that, and that's why they came out with the water baptism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But show me in the book of Acts anybody that was baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and I'll give you a check that's at right now for $5,000. Anybody want to collect it? To show me where anybody in the Bible was ever baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. All of the book of Acts bears it out, see. Right, if you want the money, come after the service, but don't come with Matthew 28:19, because it said in the name, singular, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, name singular. And the Bible says, all you do in word or deed, doing what? In the name of Jesus Christ. So then what is the name of God? We read there, it says, you know, write upon him the name of my God. What is the name of the God that Jesus was talking about? What is that name? We just quoted John 14:13, where he said, ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. Ask anybody anything in my name. What's the name of the Son? Matthew 1:20-28, 25 especially. They were told, I said, you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. But why didn't they do that? Why didn't they put Emmanuel? Because the angel that brought the message to tell Mary what his name would be gave the interpretation of Emmanuel. It means God with us. Because that's who that was. In body, he was a human element that was created by Hebrews 10:5, a body thou hast prepared me. But in soul, the prophet says that he was Almighty God. In spirit, he was the same God in sundry times and divers manners, that Hebrews 1 that spake through the prophets. That's why Jesus knew the Old Testament scriptures and things. Why? Because that spirit that was within him was the same spirit that was back there leading the children of Israel. You remember Moses at the burning bush? He was told, be careful of mine angel that will go before you. He said, because my name is in him. But see, the name Jesus wasn't pronounced. Now, not that J-E-S-U-S wasn't pronounced. If you even know your truth about it, Barabbas, do you know that it was Jesus Barabbas was his name? Very rarely, because most people don't have two names. In Bible terms, it was like Joseph of Arimathea. It was like Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't have two names like we do, Samuel, Dale. See, they had one name. But Barabbas' name was actually Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus Barabbas. But that was not the correct way. That was not the one. It's like Brother Reynolds said, there's many Jesuses in the world. But said there's only one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one that you can get the revelation. See, then we say, well, we'll just pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. You know, we pray in Jesus' name. But how come we don't get anything? Because he said, ask anything in my name. But Paul over in the book of Acts, or who was it, Peter and John, the book of Acts, where it said the name, when they were asked how the man was healed, they said the name and faith in the name. Are, in other words, a revelation of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is what we're talking about. That was what was lost in the dark ages of time. Because the dark ages of time covered, you know, about 1,000 years in there where the Catholic Church ruled what was known as the Christian world until Martin Luther came out and began to preach that you shall live by faith, causing what is called the Reformation. All right, and then bringing out the word Protestant, which means protesters, and that's where he began to protest the Catholic Church, and bringing out the truth, and then it went on from there to John Wesley and the Baptist, the Presbyterian. Each one of those churches has had their time and their use down to the Pentecostals, the Church of God, Congregational Holiness, coming right in there before the Pentecostals when you get into the Pentecostal realm at 1906, and then coming on down through the many things that are going on today, many around the world, many different names. But see, Jesus said, you got a name that you're living. He said, but you're dead. Now Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, John 5:14. I come in my Father's name. Listen, But he said, another will come in his name. He said, you'll accept him, but you won't accept me. And you want me to read the scripture to you? Because that's what it said, John 5:14. But he said, I come in my Father's name. Then what is the name of the Father? And I said in Matthew 1 there, it says you'll call his name Jesus. But why didn't they call him Emmanuel? No, because Emmanuel by interpretation means God with us, but Jesus was the name. All right. And the first time that name was set upon a human mortal's lips, now the angels brought the name to Mary. But the first time that name Jesus was spoke by a mortal lip was Mary when she was speaking to Elizabeth. And when she did, she called the name of Jesus, and Elizabeth said, the baby leaped in my womb.
Amen.
See? At the very name of Jesus, John, we call him, the Baptist, which is Elizabeth with his mother, he hadn't moved. And the baby was about 6 months, they say. You know, and even 3 months, the baby's already moving enough to be felt, right? But see, he hadn't moved any. He said, well, as quick as you said that name, Jesus, that the baby leaped in my womb. Right? See, because the name of Jesus, that is the name of Almighty God.
Right.
As I said a moment ago, Jehovah, Elohim, self-existing, all of those are titles. Really, the way it is J-V-H-V, because there was no way to pronounce it. So they added the vowels and the things to it, and they came up and called it Jehovah, to bring it down to a word to where we'd understand. And Jehovah means like a father with his family. Whereas the Lord, or God in the beginning, before you come to that point, it was self-existing one. He said, well, I know the name of God. His name's God. Well, you can make a God out of a piano. You can make a God out of a car. You can make God out of your home. You can make God out of your wife or your husband or God out of your kids. That's what a lot of people do. God means an object of worship. He didn't say call his name God. He said call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people. The word Jesus is the name of redemption. Run it all the way back if you want to, and be glad to show you in the Greek as much as I can with a computer to show you that it goes back to from Jesus to Joshua, which was back there, you know, brought the children of Israel out. Goes all the way back to Jehovah-Shi, all the way into self-existing from that name Jesus. Because Jesus is the only name God ever had. It's not, that's really not a correct way of saying it, because it's not correct to say the only name God ever had. It's the fact that God, his name is Jesus. It ain't that he had some other name and changed it. His name is Jesus. What do you think about it? Who do you think the name of God is? They've called it everything in the book. They've got this Yahweh people going now. They've got all of these others going, you know, that claim they know all about it. But they're only using titles to a name. But his name is Jesus. And he said, now the name of the Son would be Jesus, because he was told to name him Jesus. Right? So then he said in John 5:14, I come in my Father's name. So what's the name of the Father? Jesus. Right? Jesus. Very simple, isn't it? Leave all of your thoughts behind you of doctrines that you once had, and it becomes clear that the Bible vindicates the truth. Alright. See, then in John 14:26, he said, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So what's the name of the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Then his name is Jesus. But what was lost was the revelation of the name. It wasn't lost how to pronounce it. The same today. See, if you believe him today to be the second person of the Trinity, then you're right in the Catholic Church doctrine and don't know it. And see, by doing that, then you're not correctly addressing him. He said, well, he knows who it is and what to... Yeah, he sure did. So there was a little woman one day there in the Bible. She'd heard about him. She'd heard about the healings and the miracles and things that had happened by this Lord Jesus Christ. She'd heard of him, and she got close to him one day, and she said, because she'd heard the Jews talk about him. And see, they believe him to be the son of David. Because that was the promise to David, remember, that David's son would sit on his throne, which was natural that Solomon sit on the natural throne, but that was a promise that the son of David would be the Savior of the world. Alright? So that's why it's called him the son of David. But she said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on him." He never even stopped. He wouldn't even listen to her. She hollered that a couple of times, and he didn't stop. She got desperate. She said, "My Lord."
Amen.
When she hollered, "My Lord," now I'm quoting right out of the Bible, be glad to show you. She said, "My Lord." He stopped immediately and gave her what she was asking for. Why? Because she did have a right to call him Lord. But she never had no right to call him Son of David. You have no right to go to God without a sincerity in your heart and knowing who you're talking to and what you're talking about. Because you can call him Jesus, Jesus, and actually worship the devil. Come on. No, God knows who I'm talking about. He knows your heart. If he didn't know your heart, we'd be in good shape. So don't use that statement, "God knows my heart." That's what our trouble is. He does know our heart. He knows what we're thinking. But see, Jesus is his name. Jesus said in John 10:29, I think it is, somewhere right in there, he said, "I and my Father are one." I and my Father are one. Now he said he come in his Father's name. So his Father's name must be Jesus. Well, wait a minute now, you're Jesus only. Because the groups of people, you know, in the day called Jesus only, or oneness they call them. No, I'm not oneness, because that's what I'm trying to show you. That Jesus recognized, the human element of that man out here recognized as having a father. But he said, "I and my Father are one." And like I said a while ago, that's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They sold that to us down through the denominational time. And we all got caught with it. Coming right out there. But show me in the Bible anybody's ever baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'll give you the $5,000 and resign the church today. Because I have no right to be preaching. If I'm not telling you the truth. But you see, you can't produce it, but will you believe it? Then will you believe it? You say, "Well, now, Brother Dale, what we need to do is just start saying Jesus." That's all right if you know what you're talking about. What is it in Spanish? Jesus? Yeah. You got many Jesuses. But there's only one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one could say, "I and my Father's one." As close as I am to my children, we're one that way. The DNA proves we're one. But yet still we're two people. As close as I am with my wife, be 50 years this coming August. As close as that could be. If you look at me and wonder, "Well, how old are you?" I'm 67. She's 65, so we must have got married early, I guess. You can figure that out, too. She was 16 and I was 18. I raised her. All right? She said, "If there's any trouble, it's my fault." All right? Because I raised her. Right. But listen, church. As close as we are, 50 years, still, you see me, you don't see my wife. Right? I'm here, she's back there. But Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen my Father." Why? Because the Father was living inside of him. Is that what the Bible said? In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in him dwelt Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the fullness of the Godhead. All right. Now, trying to get a point to you, because I got something else here I want to say. Now, this is just a kind of a background to not lose the visitors, because we don't want them lost. We want them to see what we're talking about. All right. Mark 16, verse 17 says, you cast out devils in my name. Well, see, then we need to know for sure the name of my God. Now, the name of my God is Jesus. The next part we read was the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. Now, that's not the name of the city of God. That's like Emmanuel being God with us. The name of the city of my God is the same name as the owner of the city or the author of the city, which the name of the city of my God is Miss Jesus. Because that's the city that comes down out of heaven over in Revelation, right? 21, 22. And John there, he couldn't tell, he described the city talking about it, the bride, and described the bride talking about the city. Read it.
Right.
See, and in doing that, we are Miss Jesus.
Right.
My wife lost the name Cash and took upon herself the name of Dale
right.
through the marriage.
Right.
All right. See, she's no longer Cash.
Right.
She's a Dale. She lost that inheritance of any life of Cash. Now, not meaning, you know, worldly inheritance. She gave up her right as a Cash to marry me to become a Dale. And see, that's what we do. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved except in the name of Jesus Christ. Is that scripture? So then when you get the new birth, when you accept salvation within your heart, what is your name? You're Miss Jesus. So the name of the city of my God is Miss Jesus. Because that's who we are.
Amen.
See? By the new birth.
Right.
He gave us His name.
Right. Right.
All right. So then we have, turn over just a minute in the scripture with me. Where is it? John 20. Let's just read that in. Now this is the resurrection, just to save time of you reading all the way down. This is the resurrection where Jesus appears to Mary. All right? Now to save time reading, we get down to verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Now listen to what he says. But go to my brethren, you know, the disciples, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Now listen. And to my God and your God. Now if his Father's name was Jesus, because the Son always comes in the Father's name. Right? My kids are Dale. They're not McGillicuddies. They are. There's something wrong somewhere. You know. Somebody got a name mixed up some way. But see, they're Dales. They'll always carry that because of the Dale name. Right? And see? He said, I go to my Father and your Father. So then his Father is the same as my Father.
Amen.
That's why I said it. See, then we are Miss Jesus.
Amen.
He said, and I go to my God and your God.
Amen.
And if you notice during Revelation 12, it says the name of my God.
Right.
See, we're not Trinitarians,
right.
But neither are we the oneness.
Right. Amen.
Jesus was either Almighty God or the biggest fake the world's ever had. There is either one true and living God or the whole Bible is messed up.
Right.
Because he says over there in Isaiah, he said, I'm God and I know no others.
Right.
As the old saying goes, that's one thing God don't know. He doesn't know another God.
Right.
There is no other God.
Right.
There's only one true and living God.
Right.
They taught us those things to deceive us, to make us Trinitarians. Because the old Roman government, when it went to from the old Roman government and it was conquered, it went over to Catholicism. And they believed in many gods. And see, they brought that right over into the church. And when they had the first Nicene Council, 325 A.D., they were arguing over whether Jesus was God or a like substance. Read it. They developed that he was a like substance, but no, he wasn't a like substance. He was the substance of God, because he was God Almighty. Or either he lied. But see, God came down to dwell with man, to redeem man. And to redeem you and I, made us brothers with that body we call Jesus. He's my brother, the Bible says. But see, the very God that was in him was released at Calvary to come back upon you and I to make us the children of Almighty God. And make us in the family of God so we have the same Father. All right. And then having that same Father, then your name is Miss Jesus. Because you lost your earthly name. We'll get to it maybe this afternoon where the prophet's talking about, said we've had a name change. A born-again Christian has had a name change. Why? They're Christians. They were called Christians at Antioch because they acted and lived like Christ. Alright. See, then his name is Jesus. Our name is Miss Jesus. Alright. Now, here's something I want to get to with you. Turn to John 1. Let's talk about this one God for a minute. I love to talk about one God because it wasn't no three gods that come to me in my new birth. But it was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost coming in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when he released that, the body went to glory. The spirit that was within him come back in you and I to make us the children of Almighty God. And see, like I said, then down through the ages, they lost the revelation of who that was. And they come out that he was the second person of the Trinity. Co-equal and co-eternal. How can that be? I mean, if you got any education at all, think about co-equal and co-eternal. How can a son be co-equal with his father, and how can he be co-eternal? Sons have beginnings. That's why we're called the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. We had a beginning. There was a time we were the kin. Our daddy was the devil. Come back and read the book of Ruth sometime. And find out there was one closer kin to Ruth than Boaz was. And there had to be a lineage right to come through there, and they had to offer it to another. And they had to, Boaz had to stand there and let that other one, had he taken Naomi, he would have automatically got Ruth. And he said, I won't do it because it won't mar in my inheritance. You know what that's about? Ruth was a Gentile, and them Jews hated him. So that man, he didn't want Naomi, because if he took Naomi, oh yeah, if he took Naomi, he got great big properties, he got everything, you know. But he didn't want Naomi, because if he did, he had to take Ruth. And if he took Ruth, he had to bear children by Ruth, because that was the right of the Bible. And if he bore children by Ruth, that would mean he was marrying a Gentile. So he wouldn't do it. So Boaz kicked off his shoe in the purchase of the right to show that he would take Naomi and take Ruth. And when he did, Ruth comes down, and you come right straight down from Ruth in a natural lineage. Natural lineage, I said. Now, not it is a lineage of God, but a natural lineage. You come right down from Ruth and Boaz, down through Solomon and Rahab the harlot and all kind of things. You come right down to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was called the Son of David. Trying to think, what was David's? David's, his tribe. Tribe of David. Judah. Judah was the tribe of David. So that's where the lawgiver, the Bible said, would come out of Judah. Come right down. See, that scripture is coming right down to the very person. But you better check your lineage, because you can't run a human lineage, because your lineage runs down to Joseph. It don't run to Mary, because women are not counted in Bible. That's why you got to get in the Bible to understand the Bible. They come down to Joseph, and Joseph was not his daddy. Almighty God was his daddy. Mary never produced no egg. God created the egg and the sperm and just borrowed the womb of Mary to be born from, just like they're doing it today. You take a germ from this one, an egg from this one, put them together, put it in a third person, and they have a baby. Like that 60-something-year-old woman just, you know, a year or so ago had that baby. Because that can be done, proving the virgin birth to be correct. They're proving it by natural things. But listen to what I'm trying to get to. Listen to the point I want you to get. Look at John. We read John 1 a lot, don't we? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now we could go into that. Who created the world? But listen, drop over, we dwell on this real heavily, so drop over to 14th verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the only begotten. Now listen, this is the point I want you to get, all right? So don't think that we're just playing with small things. You might ought to listen. The only begotten. No. But Adam was a created son. Adam and Eve were created, right? And Adam was called a son of God. But he wasn't the only begotten. He was the first physical creation of mankind, but he was not the only begotten. The word begotten means only child or offspring. You know, coming from a male gender, and I'm giving you Webster and the Strong's Concordance both together. Coming from the male gender, see, an offspring. He's the only begotten. Go down to verse 18 just to verify we're still talking on it. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Declared means to bring out into light or to show. See, and that's what Jesus done. He come to show His Father. He said, My Father is within me. I and my Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, they asked Him one day about it. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But they looked there and they couldn't see that. But if they could have looked past by revelation, Peter got the closest in Matthew 16 when Jesus asked, who the man say, I the Son of Man am? Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that unto thee. In other words, my own life didn't make that known to you. But He said, My Father which is in heaven revealed that unto thee, and on that I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All right. See, because He was going to come down to reveal one God. But what I want you to get, because that's the title of the message, the only begotten. This is message number 24. So you know, to you visitors, we've been on this quite a while. And we'll probably be on it for another few years, because I'm slow. All right. But He was the only begotten. Now that's a wonderful statement.
Amen.
Meaning the only one.
Amen.
Right. Now the only thing that you and I can do is find out how He was begotten.
Amen.
And by that, we can have hopes of realizing how that we can be begotten. Alright? Now you see the point I'm trying to get you to see? Only by seeing how He was begotten can we come to any point of realizing how that we are begotten. And if we can realize we are the begotten children of God, then we're seeing what the book of Revelation is showing us. Because His Father is my Father, His God is my God, and His name is Jesus. All right, so we're Miss Jesus. by the new birth, you know, making us the children of God. You must be born again. That's Jesus' first message. Not that you just come along and believe that something, you know, say, well, my daddy's the pastor of Lula Church. Well, I've got three kids here in the church. All three of the kids. Two boys and a girl. Now, neither one of them can claim that they're saved because they come to Lula. Because they've been taught by their daddy that ain't right. They must have their own experience. My wife can't be saved just because she accepted the name Dale. She must have her own experience of the new birth. And not to just say she believes the message of the hour. But for the message of the hour to be revealed to her as the person of Jesus Christ by the new birth. Alright. And find out how he was begotten. Alright. Now, turn back in Genesis 22. I'll just get this point and then we'll close. Genesis 22. We talk about Abraham. Is how that he is who? He's the father of faith. Go over to Hebrews 11 and read about Abraham. And how he staggered, read the Bible, how he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now Abraham was given Abram beginning. That was his name, Abram. All right. You find out about the 12th chapter. Where he was in the land of Ur and told to come out, you know. Abram. All right. He met God one day and his name was changed. It was changed from Abram, which means high father. Didn't have any children. That was his name, Abram. All right. High father. Showing what God was going to do. God kept giving Abram a promise that he was going to have a son. Sarah, his wife, got involved. And she thought, boy, I'll figure this out, just like the church has. We'll figure this out and we'll get this thing to going. The church system, the world. Now, not the bride. She's types of world church system. Because she said to Abram one day, she said, now, Abram, I can't have any children. Remember, they'd been married since he was about 18 years old, somewhere along, real young. And, you know, but they couldn't have any children. It was withholding from Sarah to have any children. So she said, Abram said, now, for your name to be Father of Nations, you need some children. God gave you a promise, didn't he? Yeah, okay. Now read your Bible back there. So she said, take this Hagar, this bond servant here, and have children by her, and that'll fulfill God's promise to you. That looked good, didn't it? So Abram, he had no other thoughts of his own, because God didn't tell him how he's going to do it. He just told him he's going to have a child. So he said, okay. Maybe she knows more about it than I do. That's what got him in trouble, didn't it? Because he come up with an Ishmael. He come up with an Ishmael. A wild man. Untamable. That's where your trouble is over right now. You got all them Ishmaelites over on one side and hollering, we're the seed of Abraham, and they do descend from Abraham. You Arabs, your Iranians, your all of those people over there, they come from Abraham. He's their father. But it comes through Hagar. See, then you got Israel on the other side that comes and says Abraham is our father, and it is through Isaac. All right? But see, the promise was given to have a child, but he didn't tell him how he's going to have it. So he said, okay, Hagar, I'll just have a child by you, and he got an Ishmael. Never was able to do nothing with him. Untamable. All right. But see, that was because Abram done that. Now, Ishmael was fathered by Abram, while his name was Abram. All right. You that been in the message quite a while, you know what I'm talking about. You know what your prophet said. Ishmael was fathered when his name was Abram. And that brought nations. Our high father brought him into the kingdom. But see, God kept dealing with him to tell him about that wasn't right. Finally, one day he told him. He said, "Now, Abram, I'm going to change your name. You're no longer going to be Abram. You're going to be Abraham. But I'm going to give you part of my name." Now, Ham is not part of God's name, so that's not the original. And I can verify this with the prophet anytime you like it, because he uses H-A-M and H-E-M. The original way to pronounce Abraham was Abraham. H-E-M, H-I-M. These brothers from these foreign countries know how to pronounce it. They know it's Abraham. We call him Abraham because we're country folk. Right? We like the hog. Right? Like that fellow said one time, his name said, "The best part of a hog," he said, "Mr. Chitlin." We're Southern. But listen. He said, "I'll give you part of my name." And said, "When I do, I'm going to bring the promise through Sarah and change her name." He changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. He changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. And then the son Isaac came on the scene. Right? Isaac. Now we're going to verify that in the Bible, because go to your Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now he's got his name changed already back over here. Now he's Abraham. And saith unto him, Abraham, and he said, "Behold, here I am, excuse me. And he saith, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now take thy son, thine only son. Now remember, this is the man that fathered Ishmael. But in God's counting, he doesn't count Ishmael. Ishmael was born to Abram. Come on. Isaac was born when his name was changed to Abraham. Alright? Now, so God doesn't count Ishmael into the lineage of promise. He only counts Isaac in the promise. Ishmael had no promise except to the world. And he got his promise. He's got the gold. He's got the oil. He's got the products. He's got everything. And that's what's causing us all to gather around. And the Bible said, when you see Jerusalem come past on all sides, see, there's Russia coming down, China's coming down, we're there ourselves. What do you think we're there for? They proved it, that they took Kuwait for one purpose. They took Kuwait for one purpose. That was to have a line to bring oil out of even 50 years from now. That was proven in the paper. That's why we went to Kuwait. Not because there was some kind of a problem. They went over and took it. Why? Because we're all compassed about Jerusalem, waiting for a time. Now they've got the bombs. They got everything ready. Don't you think Russia's dead? The buyer just went to sleep. She's cooling off. She's just waiting on us to wind up and spend ourselves out, because the very day, you know the story, the very day that Russia was destroyed, who was it? The Pope and Reagan? On the front of the News Times magazine, or one of them, was on there and showed they destroyed communism, because they kept pushing the arms race until they made Russia borrow money, borrow money, borrow money. Then they demanded it. Had they demanded us the same day, we'd have been broke exactly like them. We'd have been busted the same day. But they didn't do that. Why? Because we've got to be the mark of the beast. We got to be the power. We're the power that now can rule the world. We've got the bombs. We've got the planes. We've got the equipment to rule the world with. Because that's what the Bible says. Who can withstand? But we're the image to the beast. America. I love the country, but it's gone. I was listening the other day to the prophet. Never really hit me. He said it like this. He said, There they was back in the times of the Lord Jesus. He said, you know them Jews, he said, they couldn't kill Jesus, remember? You remember, they could handle all kind of laws, they could do everything, but they couldn't put a man to death. That was under the Roman government. The Roman government had to okay a death penalty. You know, now if they stoned a man, something happened, they just forgot it, I guess, but that was the law. The law was that they had to take Jesus to the Roman government to get him crucified. Right? Pilate had to do it. Brother Brown said, and it hit me what he said. He said, I'm waiting until this over here catches up. He said, when this over here catches up, it'll be there. You remember that statement? He says, just waiting. And it never had hit me just right. He said, the government had to put Jesus to death. The Roman government had to do it. He said, that's what they're waiting on now. For this government to get to a place. They're taking away our rights every day. Every day they're taking away our rights. Come on. And they're getting ready. They're going to let the government is going to control. It's not going to be. See, it wasn't the religion that, it wasn't the religious people that killed Jesus because they couldn't do it. It was the law that killed him. The law now is going to kill us because they're going to close these doors and make them storehouses one day. That's what your prophet said about it. But see, right at that time, we're going up. Because we're going up because what we're doing now is getting ready. We're getting pressurized where we can fly through the sky. We've got to do that. You can't go up and you can't take a little old bitty prop plane and go sailing up through the atmosphere. No, it wouldn't make it. You've got to be like an astronaut. You've got to get sealed in, and you can't have one leak. You remember one leak destroyed that and where all them people got killed in it? Just a little bitty leak. Can't have it. Got to be the Holy Ghost. All right, get back on what I'm saying. Abram was the father of Ishmael. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Because Isaac was the promised son. Now, Isaac was the promised son. Turn to Hebrews. Now, proving that Isaac was the promise. So Isaac was born by faith. Ishmael was born by sex. Now don't confuse me there and think I'm dumb. That's the way Isaac got here too. You know. Alright? So I'm not stupid. Alright? But Isaac was promised. Ishmael wasn't promised. So what does the Bible say about? We like to read where that Abraham, you know, he gave his wife away twice. He done all kind of wrong, right? That's in the Bible. But when Paul wrote of him over here, he said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. God don't record what Abraham done. Why? Because it's through the blood of Jesus Christ is annihilated. Now let's look at this promised son, Isaac. Remember, the point is, Jesus was the only begotten. Meaning the first and the only. Now we got to find out how he was the only begotten to where we can be begotten. Okay? So now look at Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Now, Abram had Ishmael. Abraham had Isaac, and Abraham had a slew of kids after Isaac. But there's no promise. They were all born by natural things. But Isaac was born by promise. That made him the only begotten of Abraham. Isaac was the only begotten of Abraham. Isaac carried the promise to from Abraham to Isaac. Born by promise. Not by natural things. They had to be natural things to bring the body, sure. But he was the only begotten. Now listen, we'll take this up this afternoon so you'll see that we're not just playing with words. I'm not talking about that Jesus, the body, was the only begotten. That is true. He was the only begotten and the only one that'll ever be begotten that way. You and I never come that way, and we never will come that way. He came by creation. We've got to be recreated. He was created the only begotten. But he was the only begotten before the world ever begun. Because he was the Son of God that came out in the beginning. Which was the Logos, the Theosna, the Speech, the Creator. We'll get on that this afternoon. Because when we say Son of God, most everybody thinks of 2,000 years ago. The Son of God was the first form of God to come out at the beginning. Even Scofield Bibles, even your theologians agree totally to that. They call it the Son of God. See, he was the only begotten. Alright. Now if he was the only begotten, how do we get begotten? That's a pretty bad way of saying it, I guess, but it's the best English I have anyway. How are we begotten? He was the only begotten of Abraham. Even all the other kids that Abraham had, and when his name was Abraham, he went on and had, I forgot how many more kids. Seven, I think. See. Wonderful people, great thing. Great things happened with them. But yet Isaac was the promise. Isaac was born by faith. Jesus was born by faith. It took all them Old Testament prophets to put together that body. To bring it out to the bases that angel could go to Mary and bring that seed and put that egg and that sperm both into the womb of Mary and bring forth the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Making him the only begotten. But he was the only begotten before the world ever begun, because he was a new creature before the world begun. We'll get into that this evening. But listen, go to 1 Corinthians 5, 4. How are we begotten? 1 Corinthians 4. How are we begotten? 4 and verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. See? You got instructors or helpers or doing anything, but you only have one father. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now that wasn't to the Corinthians only. That was to the Ephesians, the Hebrews, the Colossians, the Philippians. That was to every one of the born-again believers. Begotten through the gospel. Begotten through the gospel. Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Begotten to a lively hope, Paul covers in another scripture. Begotten again, he said, to a lively hope. What? Bringing a whole forth a new creation in the end time. But see, how are we begotten? Through the gospel that is preached unto us. Bringing us forth as the children of God. Making us all the same. In the body of Christ, there is no male and female. Now come on. Because we're all female. We're the body of Christ. We're all feminish in the body. It doesn't matter who you are. Because there's only one body, and the body has got to be feminine. We can't be masculine. A born-again believer makes you the body that God comes and inhabits. You're begotten through the gospel. He was begotten by the gospel. The Old Testament gave birth. Abraham, Isaac, and go to Masterpiece for this one. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph build a foundation. Alright? But then the prophets built the body. The last one being John the Baptist coming in Malachi 4, or Malachi 3, and then coming over. And saying, introducing the head. He was the head when he came. The headstone rode into Jerusalem on the back of a white donkey. The one that Zerubbabel and all of them spoke of come riding into Jerusalem. The Old Testament gave birth. As I said, they gave the ability to where that angel could take the egg and the sperm and place it into the womb of Mary. It took the Holy Ghost to do that. And could bring forth a body. Hebrews 10:5, a body thou hast prepared me. A body for God to live in. One true and living God. And see, you and I then are the children of God. We're His offspring. The book of Acts, it said, when Paul was up on Mars Hill, you know, and they were talking about it, and he said, what's this inscription here that you left one out? They said, that's to the unknown God. In other words, just in case we miss one. They had God of this and the God of that. And I'm not throwing stones. They got a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal, or Branhamites. See, I don't mind using that word. Because there's a lot of these Branhamites that going around ain't nothing but denominations. I don't pull no stones. I just try to preach the truth. But they said, what's this inscription here? You left one out. They said, well, just in case we miss one. So that's the unknown God. You remember when we started? It said, you got a name that you're living. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, but said another will come in His name. See, anything contrary to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've missed it anyway. But listen, see, He was the only begotten. He made the way that you and I could be begotten. He was God made manifest in flesh. And He made a way. By giving His life out of that body. No Roman spear killed Jesus. No stripes on His back killed Him. He died of a broken heart. Come on, when they put the spear in there and pierced Him, his water and blood was together, He done died of a heart attack. In other words, a broken heart. He didn't die from no Roman, didn't kill Him. The Jews didn't kill Him. My sins and your sins is what killed the Lord Jesus Christ. We put Him on the cross for us. It was put there to take my place, that He could go to hell for me and pay my price, that I don't have to go there, and I can be begotten by the gospel. And I can come forth and be a child of God. Stand on my right as a child of God to believe and to be able to use my Father's name. Come on, be able to use my Father's name. You don't have to go lay hands on anybody and call the name Jesus. Just lay hands on them, the Bible says. Why? Because you're doing it in His name. It's like I've always said about food. We go eat in a few minutes. You say, ask the blessing. Everybody says, ask the blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. That's good. That's not all the Bible. It said the Word of God and the name. You want the scripture? The Word of God and the name. We're only using half of it if we ask in His name. What are you saying about the Word of God? Should we say, I want to ask the blessing in the Word of God and the name? No. See? Don't get confused. Be in the Word. Being in the Word, you know what the name is. The world is using Jesus' name, but to even use it in vulgarity. The prophet said you can call Him Jesus, Jesus, and get nothing. He said it'll be revealed in the thunders. What? The reason you can call Him Jesus, Jesus. Everybody wants a new name. Everybody wants to find some new name that we can use. Just remember this point till this afternoon. If the name of Jesus is the name of Redeemer, and you remember the question asked Dr. Best back there when the light was taken over, Brother Branham, you know, in the 50s there in Dallas, Texas, or Houston, Texas. You remember? Dr. Bosworth asked him one question, and Dr. Best couldn't answer it. He said, does all seven compound names of Jehovah apply to Jesus Christ? Because if you make Him Jehovah Jireh, which is your sacrifice, you got to make Him Jehovah Rapha, which is your healer. If He's one of them, He's all of them. But if he's not all of them, he's none of them. But see, his name is Jesus because he was the only begotten. But now we're begotten through the gospel to a lively hope that you and I can live and be Christians and walk in the faith and in the end time believe the word of God that has been sent to us. And only through that. Let's stand. Come on, Brother T. Let's stand. Just think about him. Who is he? His name is Jesus. I come in my Father's name. So his Father's name was Jesus. All you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Now, I tell this for understanding. I was raised in the Baptist. I don't make no stones about it. I'm proud of where I came from that away, but I'm proud I came on.
Right, amen.
But they used to pray. If you've ever been around Baptists, you listen to them pray. They'll say, for Christ's sake, or in the name of the Lord. You won't never hear them say, in the name of Jesus. They'll say, in the name of the Lord, or for Christ's sake. Now, if you've been around them, listen, you know what I'm talking about. It's truth, then. And there's a man come and preached one time at our church. I was in the Baptist church, and he came and preached. And he preached, all you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus. They started praying in Jesus' name. For one time, they started praying. Everybody that would pray would say, in the name of Jesus, because they caught it. But you know what I caught? That I had to head to the water and get rebaptized. I went to the water and got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, it's not just Jesus, not just five letters, J-E-S-U-S. It's a revelation of who you're talking about. If they could have just looked, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
Is that scripture? Well, why couldn't they see the Father? Because they was looking at the flesh. They couldn't look past. He said, if I don't prove who I am, I'm paraphrasing the scripture, by what I'm doing, he said, takes the works that I'm doing. Right? Is that what he told us? Take the works. He said, and see, even Nicodemus. Nicodemus come to Jesus, remember, by night and talking to him? The one that he told him, you must be born again. He said, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God, because no man can do the things that you're doing except God be with him. He admitted it. But when Jesus said, you must be born again, look at his carnality of his mind. I've got to go back into my mother and come forth again. That was all he could think of. But Jesus said, if I speak to you of earthly things and you can't understand them, he said, how can I speak to you of heavenly? Because it takes the new birth to reveal. No man can reveal anything to you. It takes the new birth. Brother Branham can't reveal anything to us. We don't claim nothing like that. But he was the vessel that God used to speak the word. We know that. But he can't reveal it. It takes the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, even my own life. I'm quoting him. Brother Branham saying it. Jesus said, my own life did not reveal that unto thee. It takes the Holy Ghost to reveal it. That's the most important thing in your life. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. We're going to get this notebook, number 46.
It's in this notebook, 46.
Holy Word,
long preserved. Anybody have a need, the altar's open. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world where there is room. The word of God will guide us. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open heart. Anybody have a need?
The word of God, ever true, holy word, all our faith,
just have to let him speak. So you believe and listen. But don't listen the wrong way. See, listen to him, what little bit he's talking to you from the Bible, what you're reading the message, what you're hearing. You say you need a word from him? The word is coming from him through the Bible. Your answer will be right in the word. I might could tell you your answer, but that wouldn't do you any good. It's when you see the answer. And it's in the word. It can't be anything else. So let's just believe he'll speak of that. All right. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, our sister said she needs a word from thee. We believe your word that you promised that you'd put somebody on the platform to answer the desire of the heart if we had a question. So we believe that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And so just make it manifest now what our sister's asking about in Jesus' name. Just go and wait upon him. And read and just listen. God, anybody else? Changing me, changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the word of God in. Word of God, ever true, changing me. Our little buddy wants a prayer cloth for his grandmother. So let's just believe that God will take care of all things. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Down from God's own heart. Brother's wanting a prayer cloth for someone in New York, so there's no distance for God, is there? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth. And believing that when it's received, that before it ever even gets there, it'll already be having the effects. And when they receive it, they'll receive from you, Father. We believe you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? If God impart, word of God ever true, changing me, changing you, we have come with open heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Amen and amen. And just let the word take care of it. It will. Always will. Amen. Let's just pray and be dismissed. Remember the service this afternoon, 2 o'clock. And just come and we'll kind of continue the thought on a little bit. Just pray one for another, right? Amen. Father, we thank you. We love you. We cherish your presence among us. And we pray that what we said this morning would be acceptable, Lord, in thy sight. And we said it because of our love in our heart for you. Because that's the only thing we have is to talk about our Father. We love our natural fathers of life, and we speak about them often. But how much more is our Heavenly Father? When we know and realize we have the same Father. We have the same God. It's I and you and me. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to just bless us now. Dismiss us for a few minutes as we go eat natural meals and things and then come bring us back together. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. You're dismissed.